Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. So I guess this might be considered, I hate to say that, my last interview with Colonel Melinda Werthurst, because she's stepping down, or has stepped down, as the county's Veterans Affairs Officer. I can't believe that for all these years.
I know.
You didn't call me or consult with me or anything.
I did not. I didn't consult with a lot of people except for my husband.
And he said, yes, do it.
Yeah, we had a discussion about our age, our health, and we decided that this was a good time in our lives to focus on each other and traveling. So
you are now 100% a civilian.
100%. But my blood is still green.
But it is. So this lady has been the Veterans Affairs Officer for 8 years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you came into this job right out of the military, or were you already out of the military?
I was already out of the military. I had, in 2008, I retired. And then I went and did something totally different. Went to be the director of operations for a hotel that was in Myrtle Beach, which was totally different. Built military programs for them, for groups to come and do respite before and after a deployment. After that, I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles as the director of administration. Was very fortunate to be a part of the veterans identification that is on our driver's license now, and left there and went to be a contractor for the South Carolina National Guard and veterans programs. I think you see a trend.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, God put this job, the director for Veterans Affairs, right in my lap. And I truly, truly feel like I have been preparing and being trained for that position my entire life.
Well, you had a very strong list of accomplishments during your 8 years. I mean, and I can't even begin to rattle them all off, but I think probably the coup de grace was the Veterans Clinic, which just recently has opened here in the last 60 days or so. That was a job, or that was a vision, for how long?
As far as I know, when I had retired from 2008, we were told that there was going to be a new clinic, and each year we were told that it was going to be two more years. So they two more years us to death until 2025, and I'm very proud to say that in the infinite wisdom of the Veterans Affairs, that they actually opened the doors on July the 1st.
Well, let's add a little bit more meat to this bone. I am sure, not knowing, that they probably got tired of hearing from you about when's this thing coming. You know, we have the stats to support it. We're shipping all these vets down to Columbia and God knows where else to get services done. Come on. True?
Well, I will tell you, I wish I could take credit for that, but this is a federal program, federally funded. We are able to convert from contract owned and operated to federally owned, federally operated VA employees. So though I didn't have a lot of influence, I was that person. I know during COVID, post-COVID, when all of the goods and services were outrageously priced, we were on the cusp of losing the clinic because it was more than $4 million over cost. So that's when I got involved and started making a lot of phone calls. I was told we could just go to Charlotte. I was told, and I'm like, no. So we did some statistics. We did some market research. I did the calls. I did that, hey, please don't let our clinic go. And in the infinite wisdom of the VA, they stayed on course, they stayed focused, and we now have a clinic.
Well, now keep in mind, this lady was in the military for 28 years. 28 years. And a lot of what she had to do or learn was how the system works. And you are a logistics person by training.
Right? I am.
So you knew exactly how to tackle this problem.
Well,
I'm giving you the credit.
Well, I appreciate that, but I really, really, there's a lot of folks in there. Rick Boven, the secretary for VA. I called him. I called the director of VA Healthcare. So I did call. I would say that my influence would be I don't take no for an answer very well, and I will just bunk the crap out of you until I get yes.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Now, this clinic, I don't know how you explain it, but it's let's go back a step. For people who are new to the community, they need to understand we have a really large contingent of veterans in your county. True?
We do. We have 45,000 registered clients at the York County VA office. Obviously, that is a hybrid of veterans, their families, eligible families that are eligible for benefits, and then caretakers who are assigned to help a veteran should they need fiduciary support if that doesn't happen to be there.
And keep in mind, when you come out of the military, you are entitled by your years of service to a bunch of services that the government will provide to you.
I would tell you that the better word is eligible. There's about 15 categories, give or take, of select benefits that has been approved by Congress. The eligibility standard for each of those are different. Healthcare eligibility is different than disability eligibility, which is different than, say, education eligibility. So every benefit has its own eligibility standard. By the virtue of your service does not automatically make you eligible.
Right.
It does not. You have to have 91 consecutive days of active federal time as the first criteria. And then from there, it depends on the benefit for which you are applying.
Now, my brother-in-law, who was a Navy corpsman in Vietnam, will tell you that thanks to the GI Bill, he was able to come out of his service and go on and eventually get his PhD in experimental pathology, which he's got. He maintains that the benefit structure today is not as good as it used to be, and he maintains that you need people like you to make sure that these vets are getting what they're entitled to get.
I would disagree. I think our benefits have been expanded, not reduced. I would even go so far as to say that the current administration in their most recent budget bill has expanded funding for additional benefits. One example is education. One particular example is education. For example, when I was in the military, I had 15 years that I could use mine. Well, Congress changed it and made that unlimited time. I may not want to go back to school until I'm in my 70s, but because of the benefit during the period that I served was limited, the folks that are coming out of the military now aren't limited.
Ah. Well, granted, his comments to me were prior to the change of administrations.
Well, this happened prior to the change of the administration, okay. So we got to give props for that as well.
All right, good. So, if you can, in a kind of a time capsule, tell everybody what it took for you to rise to the rank of colonel. This is no easy process. You had 28 years. How long did you hold the rank of colonel? When did you get it?
About 3 to 5 years
before you got
before out. I retired.
Yeah. All right. So as we were talking before we got on the show, to get from point A to point B, point B being I want to be a high-ranking officer, there's just a whole lot of stuff.
Yes.
You got to do, and you got to go get it, and you got to show those who are watching you, I can do this.
Yes, I would say I retired in 2008, and obviously the military goes ebbs and flows based on the needs of the nation.
Right.
So back in the time from 1978 till 2008, whenever I took the uniform off, I had some very good mentors. So there was a career path. It was a balance between education and qualifying jobs.
Right.
That qualified you in your craft. So when I came on active duty, because of the way I came in as a scholarship recipient at Georgia Military College, I came on active duty as a first lieutenant. So I did my basic and advanced course. Then I did my first job. Then I went back to my joint professional of development course. Right. So I did. I had a path that says these are the jobs that I have to qualify me in my military occupational skill, which was quartermaster officer, which is logistics.
Right.
So I was the kind of person that wanted the tough jobs. I wanted to make sure I did what I had to do to meet the qualifications level, notwithstanding taking education by correspondence, taking education in their residence, going on deployments that no one wanted to go on, going overseas for 8 years. Wherever I had to go, I was trying my best to posture me to get those qualifying jobs that would qualify me for my promotions.
It's quite something. Quite something. And you got it.
And as
we were discussing beforehand, the higher up the food chain you go,
yes,
the less positions are there.
Yes.
So you have to be a shining star by whoever makes these decisions, as when an opening comes, we're going to select you over that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And the higher you go, it becomes personality based. It's who you worked for, who knows you, who can vouch for you. That is a level of, non-specific that goes into a promotion. For example,
references.
Right. You would have references. So when you are nominated for promotion, your name is vetted, and if there's someone in there that says, I work with that person, and they're not the right person for this job that we're looking for, or that person is perfect for the job we're looking for, then that helps. So you kind of network your military career.
Well, it's all about evaluation. And when you're in the military, it's constant evaluation. I don't care where you are.
Right.
Or what you're doing, you're being evaluated.
Right.
And you're going to know what's right and you're going to know what's wrong. And you either decide to improve or you're just going to be stuck where you are.
Right.
Bottom line.
There you go.
Very interesting. All right. So you arrive on the scene to take this job 8 years ago.
I did.
And did you, when you were asked to do this, I gather you didn't have a moment's hesitation.
I did not. And I will tell you, I wasn't the first pick.
You weren't the first pick?
I was not the first pick. And I think it was a test. There's no testimony without a test. I was called in November of 16. I interviewed for the job, and I was not selected. And then in February, I got the call again. Apparently, the person they selected had declined the job for whatever reason. Of course, I wouldn't know what the reason was because HR. But I remember getting the call from Representative Felder, Ray Felder. And she said, Melinda, I'm calling to see if you still want the job. And I can remember telling her, I would be disingenuous if I would say no. Of course I want that job. And so I felt like I did a lot of soul searching from November of 16 until that phone call in January of 17 that says, I really wanted it. Am I going to turn into the fetal position and cry? Am I going to make it because I was a woman? I wasn't. No, I didn't. I'm just said it wasn't my turn.
Right.
It just wasn't my turn.
Well, one thing you need to know about Colonel Woodhurst over here is I asked this question, four or five interviews ago, because we've done a lot over the number of 8 years, was what her thoughts were about different standards in the military for males and females. And you were very blunt, saying there should be absolutely no differences. The standard is the standard, right?
The standard is the standard. And I shared with you, I can remember being at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and we would have to do our 12 and a half mile ruck march. And whether you were a man that weighed 385 pounds or a female that was 5'2 and weighed 100 pounds, your ruck was the same weight. Your distance was the same distance. And I think that's very, very important, because when you're in a conflict or when you're in an operation, the enemy doesn't care how much weight you can carry. The enemy only cares, is it you or them?
That's exactly right.
If you're not physically fit and you can't meet the physical standards of the job, you have no business being there.
So you were pleased then when we had this change in the administrations, and a lot of this stuff that was put in was taken out, because the standard is the standard.
In my opinion, I have been on deployments where I've been in foxholes with a male. You know, it wasn't gender specific. They didn't put women, you know, two women in a foxhole and two men. I've been on deployments where men and women shared the same tents. The military does not need to be a social test. What they need to do is set a standard that will accomplish the mission. And that mission is dependent on your physical ability, mental, physical, spiritual ability to accomplish that goal. You cannot be focused on, I need that job because I'm a woman, or I need that job because I fit this category. You need that job because you met the standard, because the outcome is dependent on it.
And you can see with this kind of response and attitude, that's how you got to where you were. Got to be a colonel. Good for you. That's
something. Well, I was told by my first mentor that success in the military was being completely qualified in your craft. And I call my craft my job. I needed to be extremely qualified as a logistician. Otherwise, I was no value to anyone. So I studied, I read, I took those hard jobs. I made mistakes that I learned from. And I did that in every single job. There's no single job I took that I knew exactly how to do that job.
Oh, yeah.
Because I took that job and made it. I made it mine.
You know, you were telling me again before we got on here, and I'm getting way off topic, but it's very interesting. One of the jobs that you had was to, I guess after the disaster in Haiti, was to try to get equipment and supplies and people from point A to point B.
Right.
That is a logistics challenge that nobody could appreciate except somebody who's had to do it.
Exactly.
And I don't know how many hundreds of things are on the checklist, and then you've got to figure out, okay, how many people does it take to do that?
Right.
How long are we going to be there? How the heck are we going to get all this stuff there and back? I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yes. So you got to be clever. So that is a beautiful example. So I'm at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I get notified that we're going over. And the 82nd Airborne Division Aviation Brigade is the lead element. So they have all kinds of aircrafts, OH-51 Deltas. They have the UH-60s. They have aircraft. So we're going over, and we're in an island. We're on an island to do a base camp because it's supposed to be non-permissive entry into Haiti. It's going to be an air assault. Well, guess what? A Codel goes over. Powell and his congressional delegation goes over. So we're on this island. Well, next thing I know, we're on this island and we're there for an undetermined period of time. So we decided, when you bring in supplies to where we are on this island, put some plywood on the bottom and flow in plywood so we can build this base camp that we didn't know we had to build. We thought we were going to go in, touch off, and then be in Haiti, but we weren't. Well, the Codel shows up, and the 82nd Airborne Division's Aviation Brigade goes home. I call my husband. I know what day it is because it was my birthday. I'm like, honey, I'm coming home. Hang up the phone, and the general officer looked at me and said, the Aviation Brigade's going home, but you and your logistics task force is going to Haiti. So sea lift, airlift. We had just put 4 million gallons of aviation fuel on the ground that now had to be drained. We brought in bladder birds, offloaded it into fuel bags, then had to download the fuel bags back into tankers and get the tankers over. And we had 72 hours to do that.
Amazing.
And he said, hey, take your time. Just be there in 72 hours.
We could talk military stories all afternoon, but we're going to take our mid-program break and remind everybody you are listening to Straight Talk, okay, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today. Your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The retiree table is there, so we got plenty of voices. Okay, let's tell them what the heck we do here at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done, retirees. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the Trauma Medical Director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
If a big outdoor project is part of your future plans, before you start digging, call 811. Within 72 hours, your underground utilities will be located and marked, and you'll know exactly where it's safe to dig. A quick phone call is all it takes, and there's no charge to find out where potentially dangerous underground cables and lines are located. Before you grab a shovel or start digging in the yard, call 811 at least 3 business days before digging. Remember, if it requires a shovel, it requires a call to 811.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Colonel Melinda Woodhurst is with us today. She is now 100% civilian. She has been out of the military for a while, but she was our Veterans Affairs Officer for a number of years, 8 years, and she just recently hung it up. Because she's got other stuff to do, right?
I do.
Got another life to go. All right. So we talked initially about what I thought was your coup de grace, getting the Veterans Clinic here. And that's a beautiful building. I have only seen it from the outside. I have not seen it on the inside. Tell me some of the other things that you were really happy to see resolved or accomplished during your time.
Starting with the ability for this community to help individuals who are struggling. I can remember going to what they call the CASH meeting, the Catawba area
coalition
for housing, for housing, that led to Pathways, that has now led to the state level Veterans Coalition. And watching that journey, over 400 individuals, veterans and their spouses, who found themselves, you know, struggling either with a rent payment or food insecurity, being an integral part of this community, helping the veterans community through that. So that to me was a success story, building the Veterans 360 program that was later able to be transitioned to the state level. The other thing would be the Veterans Transportation Network that provides transportation for veterans to Dorn VA in Columbia.
And you just got a brand new van, didn't
just,
you?
I mean, it's imminent. Any day now, it's going to arrive here in York County. It's already in Columbia. It's been bought. It's been suited up, processed, and right. It's going to be coming to York County. And what that's designed to do is to give veterans transportation to specialty care that is not offered here locally in the clinic.
Yeah. Something is longer, because before that, you're pretty much on your own getting back and forth, right?
Right. Well, the VA provided reimbursement for transportation, but that in and of itself is a difficult process. Yeah. So if you can just get on the bus and leave the driving to us, why wouldn't you? Yeah. So we got a 12-passenger van, 13 with the driver. I mean, we're going to literally save about $80,000 to $100,000 a year in reimbursable transportation costs if we could fill every seat 5 days a week. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What a great program.
And when you talk about the fact that you've got 45,000 registered clients.
Right. That is growing 1,500 a year since COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
Since COVID, we started tracking it. We got a new case management system. And so we started tracking how many new clients we got every year. Sometimes it was around 1,200. Some it was 1,500. But on average, it was, you know, between 1,200 and 1,500 a year for the last 5 years of brand new clients relocating to York County.
So what else would you want to put on the list? We've got about a minute left in the show. What else do we want to put on there? I would say just raising the bar of awareness.
About, yes.
I mean, you really have made people aware of the needs of our vets, that our vets are here, we're going to serve them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. I would say communicating to the community, either by email, by text, by radio, WHRI, straight talk, getting the word out to the community that we exist. I still find it unfathomable that people come up and say, I didn't know we have a county office. That is happening less and less and less. We're working with Winthrop. We're working with York Tech. We're working with the 87 veterans organizations in York County.
87?
87.
Oh, my God.
87 organizations who are focused, whether it's a Brew and Chew, whether it's the Hospice Veterans Group, mm-hmm. whether it's a coffee group, whether it's a numbered organization. We have about 87 of them across the county. We have our Veterans Advisory Council that meets monthly. So we're getting the word out as in every medium and forum that we can.
Well, Melinda, I could spend pretty much the whole afternoon talking to you. You've done a great job as our Veterans Affairs Officer. I know that you've got a very competent replacement, Matthew Webb, who's
yes.
in place now, and he has to go through the formal confirmation, but he's doing the job right now,
right.
and that's good. And so you go enjoy your civilian life. You've done a great job.
This community is going to be so excited to meet him.
We'll get him on the air pretty quickly, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Your with Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time, we're going to call on the retiree table over there. Hey, Tommy, stop talking. Pay attention. Here we go. What do we do here at Substation 2? It's magic. It's good food all the time. If you're out there, get in here real quick. At the count of three, this is how we do it. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.